And amen. Our text that we want to look at today are the final words of verse number 12 of 1 Samuel, the chapter number 7, where it simply says, Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Now, on numerous occasions in Scripture, we find the Lord's servants erecting stone monuments. And the purpose of such is to remind God's people of important events in their lives and important blessings, even amongst the nation of Israel. You think of that time after the flood when Noah and his family were saved, and whenever they come out of the great ark, the Bible tells us that Noah built an altar of stone. And the purpose of that altar was that it would be used for a thanks offering to God, for his sparing mercy and his sparing grace to Noah and his family. Also think of that time in Scripture when Jacob had a dream. He dreamed of a ladder reaching from heaven to earth. And while he dreamed that dream, he had a stone for his pillow. And the Bible tells us how he took that stone, which was his pillow, and the Bible says he set it up for a pillar. And he called the name of that place Bethel, meaning the house of God. And that stone, which was Jacob's pillow, became a pillar, and it marked the place of worship for many years for the people of Israel. You think also of that particular time when God brought Israel safely over the river Jordan in full flood. And he made a way for them over that river that they were able to walk over on dry ground. And you read after that great event that Joshua erected 12 stones at Gilgal. And those stones were to mark the place where God's power was displayed in a mighty way on the behalf of his people and on the behalf of the nation of Israel. And dear people, this morning here in 1 Samuel chapter 7 in the verse number 12, we find Samuel the judge erecting a stone. And this stone also was to mark a very important time in the history of Israel. Verse 12 says, then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. That word Ebenezer literally can be translated the stone of help. And this stone was to remind Israel, not only in the day of Samuel, but future generations, of how God helped them overcome the Philistines in a time of great fear during the days of Samuel the judge. Now, dear people, here on Friday night past, this congregation here has opened this beautiful new hall complex. And to mark that occasion, a plaque was unveiled out there in the foyer on behalf of this congregation. And on that plaque, acknowledgement is made of the faithful labors of this entire congregation. But also on that plaque, acknowledgement is made to God's goodness and God's help and God's bounty in all of this venture. And inscribed upon that plaque are the words of our text this morning here from 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, where it says, Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Yes, those words, they mark another milestone, a very important milestone on the history of this congregation here of Market Hill Free Presbyterian Church. Another important milestone over this past 34 years. Yes, some very humble beginnings in a little hut down the road, which some of you may remember and recall. We are where we are today as a people, as a congregation, and by the help of God, and by the grace of God. Indeed, this morning, as we would reflect upon God's goodness and God's blessing to this congregation over this past 34 years, I believe the words of this text today are a fitting tribute. When we think of this new hall and all that God has done for us and for us as a congregation, we must unitedly say with Samuel in the words of our text this morning, Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And it is those words I want us to focus upon this morning and say a few remarks upon to your hearts. And there are four things in particular I want you to note regarding this text. And I trust it'll be a blessing, a challenge, an encouragement to our hearts today as God's people to press on with God. If you're not saved in this meeting today, oh, that God would awaken you this very day in this new hall to flee from the wrath to come and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Notice first of all here that the stone of Ebenezer marks a time when God heard and God answered prayer. Look at verses 7, 8, and 9 of this chapter. It says, "And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, 'Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines.' And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him." And those verses tell of the Philistines planning to attack the children of Israel. Because of great fear, you see there how Israel asked Samuel the judge to pray for them. And Samuel responds to their request. He prays for them and he asks for divine intervention. And look at the end of verse number 9. It says, "And the Lord heard him." Thus, in erecting the stone of Ebenezer, Israel would be reminded of God hearing their prayers and God answering their prayers on their behalf at a time of great need, at a time of great distress. Through prayer, the Lord's people were helped by God, and God heard the cry and the petition that went up. It says there, "And the Lord heard him." Brethren and sisters in Christ, surely this is our testimony as well this morning as a people, as a congregation. Yes, through prayer we have known God's help. We have known God's blessing. We have known God's intervention in our own personal lives as the people of God, and also in the life of this congregation. Indeed, with the psalmist in Psalm 116, verse 1 today, we can say, "I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplications." Yes, in our own personal lives, in our own family needs and situations, prayer has been offered. Indeed, prayer has been answered. Also regarding the salvation of souls, prayer has been made and prayer has been answered. Yes, in all the different aspects of God's work here, prayer has been offered down throughout the years, and prayer has been answered in the strengthening of the work and the blessing of the work. In all the detail of this new hall, there has been much prayer. Prayer for wisdom, prayer for guidance, prayer for provision, and God has heard prayer, and God has answered prayer. And truly today, as a people, as a congregation, we can say, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in the verse number 5, you have the Apostle Paul speaking about the Lord, and he says, "God give the increase." And dear people of God, every blessing we have and we enjoy today, temporally and spiritually, it comes from the Lord. And how we ought to thank God today for his mercies, for prayer heard and prayer answered on our behalf as a congregation, and our personal needs, our family needs, those needs that concern us day by day as God's people. And surely answered prayer in the past should encourage us today as Christians to be all the more fervent in prayer in the future for his help, his blessing in our lives, in our homes, in our families, and in the work of God here in Market Hill. Turn with me in your Bible over to Jeremiah chapter number 33. And look at what the Lord says to you and I as believers in this meeting this morning in verse number 3. of Jeremiah chapter 33, and how this verse surely would encourage us to be fervent in prayer, to continue in prayer, to not let God go until He come and bless us. The Lord says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What an invitation from the Lord to pray. To encourage you and I, dear believer in Christ this morning, to be fervent and earnest at the throne of grace. To come to the prayer meetings, to take time to pray daily for our needs, our homes, our families, our nation, our land. The work of God here and across the nations and the mission fields of the world. The Lord says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. And dear friends, God does not lie. God is true to His word. Yes, the stone of Ebenezer marked a time when God heard and God answered prayer. Look again at our text there in 1 Samuel chapter number 7. We can say in the second place that this stone of Ebenezer marked a time when the Lord preserved His people. Look at verse number 10 and verse number 11 and verse number 13. And you'll read about that preservation. Verse 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 7 says, and as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. And they were smitten before Israel. And men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Beth Kar. Verse 13 says, so the Philistines were subdued. And there came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. There you read of a tremendous preservation from God on the behalf of His people. God sent a great thunderstorm upon the Philistines. The result was that the Philistines were struck with terror. They were discomforted. They were smitten and pursued by Israel. They were subdued. And this cause of victory over the Philistines and Israel's preservation at this time was all due to God, to the hand of God's power and the hand of God's grace. Look again at the end of verse 13. Notice what it says. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Therefore, the stone of Ebenezer, it marked a time when Israel knew divine preservation from the attack of the enemy upon them. And brethren and sisters in Christ this morning, when we think surely of our own lives as God's people, when we think also of the life of this congregation here, surely we too can testify of divine preservation from every attack of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Yes, the devil's desire for us as God's people has been to destroy us and to sift us wheat from the very day of our conversion to Christ. That's the devil's constant strategy against the people of God. And also from the very inception of the work here at Market Hill, the devil has sought to hinder the work. He sought to stop the work. He sought to destroy our witness. That's what the devil is about. That's the devil's work. But believer, the Lord has preserved her witness. The Lord has preserved the witness of this church to this very hour. Why? Because of God's preservation. You see, the Lord says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's the promise of Christ. Christ does not break His promises. Turn over to Psalm 121 and look at how the psalmist testifies of the Lord's preservation. Verses 7 and 8 of Psalm 121. He says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. And surely, people of God, is that not also our testimony today as individual believers, as a congregation of God's people? We can testify of God's preserving grace, of God's preserving care.
In
Psalm 61 and the verse 7, you have the psalmist David there praying for the king. And this is what he prays. He says, "Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him." And there he was praying that the king would be preserved. Preserved by God's mercy. Preserved by God's truth. Brethren and sisters in Christ, the lesson there for us is simply this. If we as God's people remain faithful to the testimony of Christ, to the testimony of his word, the testimony of the scriptures, then God will continue to preserve our testimony as individual believers and also as a congregation here in the Tandragee Road. For the Lord has promised, "Them that honor me, I will honor." And that's our responsibility as we look into the future. To ever be faithful to the Lord, our Savior, to the testimony of his word, to the testimony of his truth. But notice thirdly here, not only did this stone remind them of preservation and prayer answered and heard, but thirdly we can say the stone of Ebenezer marked a time when God caused his people to know rest and restoration. Look at verse number 14 there of 1 Samuel chapter number 7. It says, "And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron, even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hand of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites." Notice that word peace there. It literally means rest. And that doesn't mean here that Israel entered into an agreement with the Amorites. No. But it means here, because of God's help, Israel now had rest from their enemies. They had this peace around about them. Also there in verse 14, notice the mention of the word restored there. And that verse tells us how the cities from Ekron unto Gath, which the Philistines had previously taken, were now restored back to Israel and to the people of God. You see, some 20 years before, Israel had lost these cities to the Philistines because of their backslidings and their waywardness. However, if you look at verse number 3 of the chapter, you'll read there of God using Samuel to bring Israel back to reformation and to restoration and repentance before the Lord. Look at what he says to them in verse number 3 of the chapter. "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." He called them back to God, and Israel heeded that call. They put away their sin, their strange gods. They turned back to the Lord. Look at verse number 6. It says, "And they gathered together to Israel, or Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah." They heeded the call of the preacher to come back to the Lord. And what was the result? God blessed them. And God gave them back these cities that had been taken previously. They now as a people knew rest. And now as a people they knew restoration, as it is mentioned there in verse 14 of the chapter. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ, by God's grace over the years, yes, and through the witness of this church here in Market Hill, ground has been taken from the enemy in this community. Souls have been saved by the grace of God. A faithful Bible-believing witness has been maintained against the great end-time apostasy and departure from the Word of God that is in every hand today. Also in our own personal lives, through God's blessing upon the ministry of His Word from the pulpit in this church, our hearts of God's people have been blessed. We have known spiritual rest. We have known restoration from the Lord. That has been our portion as God's people. You think of the words of Robert Robinson, that great Christian hymn writer of a bygone day, speaking of his own heart as a believer. He said this, He says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And dear believer in Christ, think of those words. And dear believer in Christ, if God had left you and I to ourselves, think about that this morning. If he had left you and I to ourselves, I tell you this, today would be far away from the house of God. Would not be found here worshiping together with the people of God around the things of God. If we had been left to ourselves, we'd be far, far away from the Lord and the house of God today in the worship of the Lord. But praise God and grace, he has not left us to ourselves. In spite of ourselves, he has drawn us out after himself. He has worked in our hearts as God's people by his sovereign grace, giving us desires after Christ, giving us desires after the kingdom of God. And the work of God is all the work of God's grace in our lives as God's people. You turn over, please, to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2 and the verse number 13. And look at what Paul says here to the believers in Philippi. And it applies, dear Christian, to you and I also here today as God's people. Philippians chapter 2 and the verse number 13. Paul says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That verse speaks there of the Lord working in the hearts and the lives of his people. And that's been the case with us because of God's grace. Not only his saving grace, but his sustaining and keeping grace. Dear believer, it says there, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I tell you this, dear Christian, if God left you and I to ourselves for one moment, we would be far, far, far away from God and the things of God. We'd be far away, but we thank God for his preserving mercy, his sustaining grace, his keeping grace. And dear believer in Christ, as you and I would think of the future, let us pray as God's people for God's glory, that God would work in each of our hearts, work in each of our lives in a far greater way, even that he has ever done before. You know, there's no limit to God. There's no end to the blessing of God, for God is infinite. There's no limit with the Lord. You remember the prayer of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. After he'd been saved for many years, after he'd been involved in the service of God for many years, what was his prayer? That I might know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. He wanted to know more of God. He longed for greater blessing in his life as a believer. And surely that should be our desire today when we think of how God has preserved us and kept us to this very moment in time. The hymn writer speak of the Lord and says, I cannot breathe enough of thee. He wanted to know more of God. Again, another hymn writer could say, more about Jesus would I know. They wanted to know more of God in their lives, more conformity to Christ, more likeness to Christ, more growing in grace, more advancing in grace, more going on with God. You turn back, please, to our Bible reading this morning, to 1 Samuel chapter number 7. Look at what it says about Israel here in the day of Samuel at the end of verse number 2. It's very striking. It's very important. It says, and all the house of Israel, notice the word, lamented after the Lord. You see, the Ark of the Covenant had been absent for 20 years. And in Bible times, the Ark of the Covenant was the sign, the symbol of God's presence amongst them. And they longed for that Ark to be brought back. You'll see there that in the entire nation of Israel, there was a longing after God. There was a thirsting after God. There was a lamenting. It's a very strong word. Their whole heart and being was seeking after God. I know that we as a people today would be a people who would lament after God, that would seek after God with all of our heart. What does it say in the book of Jeremiah? To seek for me and search for me with all your heart. It says the Lord shall be found of us. What a promise to encourage us to seek after God. But notice one final thought this morning here from our text. This stone of Ebenezer, it inspired Israel to future confidence in
the Lord.
Look at our text again there, 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. It says, Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. That word hitherto means up until this point of time. As Israel thought of God's help up until this point of time in their history, they would have been inspired to have greater confidence in the Lord for the future. You see, God says, I am the Lord, I change not. And as God in the past had helped them, so he was able to help them in the future as God's people. And child of God is the same for you and I as individual believers. Yes, the Lord has helped us in the past in our own Christian life and testimony. So he is also able to help us in the future until the Lord comes or calls us home. Remember what Paul said to the church at Philippi. He said, he which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And also the Lord has helped us in the past as a congregation, likewise, because he changes not. He's able to help us as a congregation in every aspect of his work here in the future. Turn over to Hebrews chapter number 13, please. Hebrews chapter 13. And just look with me there at these tremendous words about the Lord. Hebrews 13 and verse number 8. It says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, and today and forever. The Lord changes not. Look at what the writer of the Hebrews says about the unchanging Christ. Look at verse 5 and verse number 6 of that great chapter. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Think of those words, dear Christian. The Lord is my helper. Child of God, as you and I would launch out into the future, in our own personal lives as believers, indeed in the life of this church, let us as God's people, even today afresh, rededicate our life to the Lord our Savior, to the honor of his word, to the honor of his truth. Turn over there to Hebrews 13 and verse number 28. Look at the final words there of that verse. And here's writing to God's people. It says, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fears. The Lord has helped us in the past. Let us pray for fresh grace today, as we rededicate our lives to the Savior, to the cause of God in this corner of his vineyard. Pray for grace and help to go on with God, and to serve the Lord to the very utmost of our ability until our Savior comes, until he would call us home to heaven and home to glory. Maybe I'm speaking to one in the meeting this morning and you're still unsaved. Out of Christ in this meeting, you've no hope for time. You've no hope for eternity. The hymn writer says, you're like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea. And day by day, dear friend, you're sailing on towards the shore of a lost eternity in hell itself. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl, unsaved in this meeting this morning, your greatest need today is that of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. He is the only one who can save you from your sins. He is the only one who can save your soul from the pit of hell. He is the only one that can take you into heaven and into God's family. My, he is the only friend in life, I tell you, that will stick closer than any brother. He is indeed, the Bible says, the friend of sinners. That's the same Jesus we preach today. And coming into this world, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He died on the cross for the sinful sons of Adam's race. He shed his blood as a ransom for our sins. And by faith in him alone and his sacrifice alone, dear friend, unsaved, you can know your sins forgiven today. You can know peace with God in your heart. You can be sure of a lost, being saved from a lost eternity in hell. You can be sure of eternal life in God's heaven. The Bible speaks of Christ and says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
With his stripes we are healed. If you're not saved, I would urge you today to flee to Christ. Have the blood of Christ applied to your heart. To receive God's salvation, you come just in simple childlike faith as a repentant sinner. Trust Christ, call upon him. And Jesus himself promises, him or her that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, I urge you today to come. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And then your testimony will be like that of Samuel and God's people in this day. You too will be able to say, Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. If you're to know and testify of that help, dear friend, you must come first of all, repent of your sins, put your faith and trust in Christ as your dear Redeemer and as your blessed Savior. We're going to close.